Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Breaking up is hard to do, and it can feel especially tough in high school. For much of our history, breaking hearts was something that had to be done face-to-face, or maybe with a Dear John letter. But now, in the age of digital media, breaking up can be as easy as just pressing send.
WBUR reporter Bianca Vasquez-Tonis had a story on Morning Edition just this morning about her visit to an after-school workshop in Boston recently, where the topic was breaking up in the digital age.
One of the ways to break up is texting. Email. Any other ways to break up?
Face-to-face.
Email. Face-to-face. Facebook. What else?
MySpace.
Twitter. Anyone else? Twitter. What are the negatives of breaking up over Facebook?
The memo can go out fast. Like, once you break up with the person, like, they'll tell all their friends and stuff, and then they'll just start talking trash about you.
Oh, I just kind of, I can't imagine the status updates about that. But it's not just breakups that are happening digitally. More and more teenage relationships, platonic, romantic, or even something in between, are happening via text message, IM, and Facebook.
And to talk about that over the next few minutes, we're joined right now by Casey Corcoran. He's the director of the Start Strong Initiative at the Boston Public Health Commission, which runs the relationship workshops that we just heard from. And Casey Corcoran, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Also with us, Alice Marwick. She's a postdoctoral researcher at Microsoft Research New England, who's investigating how young people interact over social media. And welcome to you, Alice. Good to have you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And listeners, what effect is this having on adolescents in your view? Is it a good thing, or is there something cold and heartless going on here that's dangerous? And do parents understand what it means to their children's lives and relationships? That's our talker today. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Casey, let's pick up with this idea to get us going. Why are teenage breakups a matter of public health to begin with?
Well, the work we do at the Start Strong Initiative at the Boston Public Health Commission has to do with teen dating violence prevention and healthy relationship promotion. And we know that approximately 1 in 5 young people, teens in Massachusetts, experience some form of dating violence. And what we found in working with teens is that a lot of the drama that's playing out in these relationships, that drama is happening during the breakup period. And we found that a lot of people weren't talking about it. So that's why we decided that we need to start talking about this and talking about it young, before the breakups happen.
Mm. And how does the digital communication component play into this? If you do it by text message or by email, it's as easy as pressing send. Does this sort of add to this drama? Does it add to this concern, I guess, over trying to build healthy relationships?
Sure. Breakups in many ways have always been very public, but it used to be maybe just at your school or in your community. But now it's not just celebrity breakups that are going worldwide. These tools allow for messages to be broadcast everywhere.
Hmm. So say more about that. So what are you telling these the folks in the workshops that you're dealing with?
One of the biggest things we tell them is that when they're having a conflict in their relationship, they should take a technology timeout. Mm-hmm. We know from adolescent brain development research that the frontal lobe is not fully developed until they exit adolescence, and that's the impulse control. So if they can take a technology timeout, talk with friends, talk with family, process a little bit, there's a better chance that they're going to make a good decision.
So a technology timeout. Okay. I mean, in a way, that's interesting. That's consistent with what you might hear around an office like this. I mean, I think we've all sort of been warned or learned the hard way that sort of firing off an email when you've got that thing you just got to say and it gets received in a different way. It sounds like this is sort of a similar idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Alice, let me bring you in. This idea, more kids spending more times building relationships with digital media, breaking up relationships with digital media. Does it follow that they're spending less face-to-face time, and is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that if kids are spending less time interacting with their friends face-to-face, it's not necessarily by choice. A lot of kids today, they have very packed schedules, or their parents might have a sense of fear of them being in the neighborhood by themselves or of going over to friends' houses. So we're seeing a lot of young people who come home from school and they sit in front of a computer. So a place like Facebook or MySpace or Twitter becomes kind of a public where they can chat with their friends and participate in the social lives of the people around them, even if they can't physically be co-present with those friends. But I think that for most young people, if you ask them, would you rather be chatting with people on Facebook or hanging out with them together, they'd still rather be interacting face-to-face for the most part.
And what do we know in terms of some of the numbers about what's actually happening here? I mean, anything at all that you can throw at us in terms of preferred platform, numbers of sort of email messages or text messages that the average young person is sending today?
Well, we know that something like 92 to 94% of people under 18 in the United States have an account on a social network service. So it's very pervasive in high schools. It's very normal to have right now a Facebook account. In terms of text messaging and email, I think we see a preference for text messaging over email for young people. Email is primarily a technology that young people use to communicate with their parents, their bosses, and when they go to college, their professors, or in high school, their teachers. Whereas text messaging is more of a personal conversation that they have with select friends. We've seen a really wide range of text messaging rates among teenagers. It depends on the kid, how extroverted they are, how many friends they have. We've interviewed kids who sent more than 1,000 text messages a day. That's clearly on one end of the spectrum. But then on the other end, some kids, don't even have text messaging or they don't even have a cell phone. So it's very variable.
And sort of following up on what Casey Corcoran was talking about, this idea that he counsels kids sometimes to take a technology sort of time out. Good idea. Does that make sense to you? I mean, is there this sense that using this kind of immediate communication can sort of it's not as compassionate, perhaps?
I think that asking people to take a deep breath before they say something is always a good idea. I think a lot of adults could probably benefit from that advice as well. But I think that for young people, sometimes technologies like text messaging do allow them to be very connected to a web of supportive friends. It can also be a positive thing. I mean, lashing out at somebody, whether you're doing it over a phone call or in person or text, is never a good thing. But I think that sometimes taking a technology timeout might also mean cutting yourself off from potential sources of support if you are going through relationship problems or friend drama or something like that.
A question for both of you, and let me come back to you, Casey. Have you found that adolescents are using Facebook, texting, IMing to communicate in ways that they wouldn't necessarily communicate face-to-face? Or is it just, I mean, because it seems like, Alice, that you're sort of suggesting that this is a question of time management, essentially, because they're so overbooked that, they're resorting to this. But isn't there the quality of the communication and what they're actually communicating? Doesn't it change? Casey.
We find that they're sharing more intimate details online than they are offline, and that at least around breakups that many of them feel that it's much easier to communicate with a person via text message or Facebook or Twitter than it is to do it face-to-face. But what we're also finding is that, in the end, it's much less effective for them if their goal is actually to end the relationship in a healthy way. We'll talk to our teens and say, well, when did you decide you want to break up? And they'll tell us the day. And then we'll say, well, how long did it take you to break up? And they'll say, well, it took a month. We'll say, what did you do in between then? Well, they were texting back and forth the whole time. Their goal was to have a healthy breakup, but they were using a technology at that point that wasn't very effective. So we're trying to move them towards more effective strategies, particularly around healthy breakups. Mm.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. But first, I want to reach out to our listeners here and ask them to chime in on this conversation. What effect do you think this increased reliance on digital forms of communication is having on adolescent relationships, particularly on the idea of breaking up online? Is this a good thing? Or is there something cold and heartless going on here that's dangerous? Well, give us a call. What do parents understand what it means to have their children's lives and relationships being determined digitally like this? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. So, Casey, you mentioned different strategies. Say a little more about that.
Well, we use a cell phone reception bar metaphor to help young people think about the strategies that they can use to break up in a healthy way. And 5 bar, as we say, is face-to-face. There's the best chance with face-to-face communication to actually be heard or to hear what somebody is saying. You get body language, you get tone of voice, you can do it in private. It moves down to things like cell phone communication, where you're going to get tone of voice, but you don't know if it's private and you're not getting body language, all the way down to one or zero bars of reception, which is social networking sites, which is like shouting. And it says more about the person posting than the person you might be upset with.
Alice, do you want to chime in on that? One of the issues that actually I wanted to get to is what parents need to be paying attention to, because I think there might be a risk or perhaps a danger that parents sort of view this as something that kids are doing that they shouldn't be doing necessarily, and it's a distraction. Maybe they're not doing homework. Maybe they're not paying attention to the conversation at the dinner table when there's actually a big part of their social world sort of unfolding via these media.
Yeah, I would like to just push back a little on something Casey said about face-to-face communication being the sort of best mode of communication. I think that in some situations it certainly can be, but modalities like Facebook or text messaging also allow for the types of conversations that don't go on face-to-face, when two people can't be in a room.
Such as? When they can't be in a room.
When they
right.
can't be in a room, or perhaps when they're somewhere where they can't be talking out loud, like a class, which I wouldn't advocate, but it does happen. I think that for a lot of young people, text messaging can sort of be a way to feel out the way that they talk to other people, sort of especially if they're just kind of learning how to flirt or learning about relationships. It's maybe easier to say something to people over text messaging than it is to say it in person, which can be feel very risky or make them feel very nervous. So I think that there are some things that social media is good at that you can't necessarily do in face-to-face interaction. But I think in terms of parents sort of worrying about some of these things, I think rather than this being a time management issue, I think it's really an issue of, in some ways, sort of social isolation. And for parents to make it possible for kids to open up some spaces where they can congregate with their friends and have sort of unscheduled time, places like parks, malls, city streets, these aren't typically places anymore where you see teenagers being able to congregate. There's kind of a pushback against that. And so I think that if there were more opportunities for teenagers to sort of chat in face-to-face situations or have more time where they aren't just going on Facebook, you know, that might be sort of one way to think about this in a positive way.
Let's get a couple of listeners into the call. Janet is calling from Wrentham. Hi, Janet.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, this is a very interesting subject to me. I no longer have a young child. My daughter is 31, so she didn't grow up with this type of media going on. But I do have many nieces and nephews that this is all they use. And I find it disturbing to me that human issues like breaking up with someone is very, very traumatic. And it seems to be losing the human contact. And I think it is so important for people to still hear someone's voice, to see someone face to face. A relationship should be between human and human, not text messaging and just words flying back and forth.
All right, Janet. Well, thanks so much for the call. Alice, what do you think about that? Respond to this concern of Janet that we're losing that human contact.
I understand Janet's anxiety because new technologies can be very scary, especially when we maybe don't know how to use them ourselves. But on the other hand, you could say similar things about the telephone or about a handwritten note. And teenagers have been breaking up with each other over the phone and through notes for generations. I think that for a lot of kids, text messaging and Facebook do give them a sense of connection and intimacy with their friends. It's not so much about just bits being exchanged over a modem line. It's really about that kind of human connection with people that they care about. They're primarily communicating over text messaging with people that they know face to face.
Let's go to, thank you very much, Janet, for that call. Let's go to Marie, who's calling from Concord. Hi, Marie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to do it. What's on your mind?
My 12-year-old daughter had her first boyfriend a couple of months ago. For about a week, they started connecting. They had connected in school and then decided to be boyfriend and girlfriend via texting while they were on February vacation. But after she came home...
I'm sorry, Marie, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
When she got home from vacation and actually spent 2 hours face-to-face with him, she realized she didn't really want to have a boyfriend, that they didn't actually have that much in common.
So, it was a very effective strategy then, the face-to-face.
So, Marie, just to be clear, when they decided to go out, the going out meant having a relationship via texting. Is that right?
Yeah, they declared that they were boyfriend and girlfriend via texting.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you hear? What do you hear, Casey?
And she decided that she didn't want to do that, and she asked me how she could break up with him.
Yeah, and what did you tell her?
I said that the best thing to do would be face-to-face or over the telephone, and she actually wasn't comfortable on either of those because she doesn't spend that much time talking to him that way. But she did call him. She rehearsed it. She called him and very nicely said that she didn't want to have a boyfriend right now. Thank you very much. And they hung up, and then he texted her and said, "That's great. I understand. I'm not mad."
Okay. Marie, thank you so much, and I wish your daughter all the best. Casey and Alice, Marie's story there, are we finding a new kind of dating, essentially? I mean, is dating sort of morphing into something else?
Yeah, and I want to just go back to something Alice said, and I agree with, is that we shouldn't demonize the technology that young people are using. It's how they use it that we have to be concerned about and being really thoughtful about, and that we don't want to necessarily ban technologies, but we want to help them think through how to best use that technology if they do choose to use it. But young people are engaging in a lot of different types of relationships. If you take time and talk to a young person, if you ask them, well, are you dating, you're probably going to get a no. But if you ask them, are they talking to somebody? Do they have a wifey hubby?
A wifey hubby.
Have they ever hooked up with anybody?
Right.
These are all different. These are very nuanced types of relationships that young people are engaging in, and they're meaningful to them. So if we just talk about dating relationships, we're missing a huge chunk of the spectrum of relationships from the very informal to the very formal that young people that are part of young people's lives.
Mm, interesting. Let's take another call. Linda from Brighton. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to just comment on something that Alice had said, that we can still use technology in a good way, and that maybe saying face-to-face breaking up isn't the best way to do it for teenagers. And I think that's a bit of a cop-out, because I think, you know, in the technology age, we're trying to figure everything out, but it, you know, saying that maybe talking face-to-face isn't the best way to do it is, you know, sort of setting kids up to not learn the best healthy ways of communicating with people that they're dating, but also with other people in general.
Hmm. Well, let's put that question right to Alice. Alice?
Linda, I completely understand your concern. I think that there are, I think what I meant to say was that I think there are certain things that certain technologies have that face-to-face communication doesn't necessarily. But I think that most kids, you know, I think that they do have the ability to relate to their peers face-to-face. I don't think that necessarily text messaging or Facebook take away from that ability. I think perhaps it augments it somewhat. I think if you ask a group of young people what is the best way to break up with someone, they'll all virtually say face-to-face is the best, most respectful way to do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's times when that might not be the best, most safe way for them to do it, or that might not be the most convenient way. Or a phone call. For a lot of young people today, they don't spend a lot of time talking on the phone, unlike kids did in the 70s and 80s. I think it depends on the situation.
I mean, maybe I'm sounding like sort of the old fogey here, but in the same way that our dependence on emails has made letter writing a sort of thing of the past, is there a danger here that, of essentially losing that skill for face-to-face interpersonal relations?
I don't think so. I really don't.
Casey, are you as adamant? Are you as confident as Alice in this?
I do know that our young people need a lot of practice, and I would clarify that in relationships that aren't abusive, if there is abuse, we would never advocate for face-to-face or even text messaging. They need to get professional help. But, we do a lot of presentations on our breakup work, and for the face-to-face breakup, I usually put up a slide of a dinosaur because our teens tell us it's extinct. but they are using text. They are using email a bit, and we're just trying to move them towards a direction where they're going to be more effective in achieving what their goal is, which is to engage in a healthy breakup.
Let's get at least one more call in here. Sue from Cumberland, Rhode Island. Hi, Sue. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to do it. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a high school librarian, and I'm glad you mentioned the distraction factor, because, I've seen girls dumped via text in school. They're devastated. They're wondering why, and they're obviously not going to focus on any schoolwork that day, if you know what I mean. But the bigger issue, too, is, and I don't want to break it down on gender lines, but it kind of makes it easy for guys, in a way, I think, when there's a lot of misunderstandings and things, and it's such an abbreviated form of communication that so much is lost. And I generally tell the girls that this happens to, I said, he wasn't man enough to look at you. He's not man enough to be with in any way. So don't worry about him. But that's tough to hear. It's tough to negotiate. And I just think it makes the waters really muddy for everybody.
Sue, thanks so much for the call. Casey.
This is an interesting point about young men and breakups, because a research report came out recently from Wake Forest talking about how breakups affect adolescent boys. And what they found was that young men are having issues with breakups, and they're having some of the same internal struggles. But what they also found is that they don't have the quality or quantity of friends to process. So I think in working with young men that sometimes we look at their reticence to talk about this as a sign that they're not affected by it or that they don't care, when they really do care. And we do need to provide more positive outlets for young men and young women, but young men in particular, to talk about their feelings around breakups.
Alice, do you want to chime in here, this difference between this line between the genders?
Yeah, I think Sue's anecdote sort of speaks to two things. One is how serious high school relationships can be for a lot of young people. These are very significant. And when people sort of diminish them by saying, oh, this is just puppy love or it's just a crush, I think it sort of undermines how important these emotional connections are for young people. The second thing is that I think there is a lot of anxiety and vagueness that goes on around social media in general. I think that on Facebook, there's sort of the ability to see what your significant other might be doing or suspecting him or her of flirting with other people. With our young people, we see a lot of anxiety going on around these sort of uses of social media. That doesn't mean I don't think that they would be anxious as well if those things were occurring face-to-face, but we definitely see social media creating social anxiety for some young people.
Well, interesting subject that I wish we had more time to discuss, but our time runs out. I want to thank you both for coming in. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Alice Marwick. She's a postdoctoral researcher at Microsoft Research New England. She's been investigating how young people interact over social media. Also with us is Casey Corcoran, director of Start Strong Initiative at the Boston Public Health Commission. And the Boston Public Health Commission runs a relationship workshop for teens that Casey's been involved with. Thanks to our listeners. Stay with us when we come back after a short break. We have more Radio in Radio Boston. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Gone so far away.